In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hat.
Okay, it should be doing a thing.
Okay.
Congratulations.
You're welcome.
What?
I don't know.
Welcome, everyone, to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast that to this day is still spoken of in hushed, fearful tones in certain places in South America under the name El Muerte Indigo. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 77.
Woohoo! We rolled doubles. We get to go twice. Wait, that doesn't... You can't roll two sevens in Monopoly. That's not
no,
right.
You can't.
Yeah, so this is our podcast. At this point, our listeners are pretty hardcore, so y'all pretty much know what's going on. But on the off chance that we have a new listener, William and I like to talk, and we like to record it. And we found a hat that is magical in that it has its own email address. So people write to that email address, questions, topics, things like that, and the hat phantasmagorically transmutes them into little pieces of paper that we draw out of the hat and discuss until we are bored. Yes, till we are bored, Mark. Not you. If you're bored with us talking about being bored, that's okay, because we're not bored with it. Okay, now I'm actually a little bored with it, so I'll stop. But you get the idea. And that's pretty much our show. It's not much of a show, but people seem to like it. So,
yeah.
Fuck you.
Who are you saying that to?
The person who's dissing our show.
Oh, okay.
That person out there who I don't know who they are, but they're a bastard.
Okay, well.
Whoever they are. Who are they to come in here to our little hat community here?
I don't know.
Where we're all having a good time. You and I are talking. They're listening.
Yeah,
they're commenting.
Yeah, that's right.
Blog, very active. People have a lot of opinions about Back to the Future 4.
Sure.
Yeah. A lot of way more opinions than they've had on things for a while. People are very opinionated on Back to the Future. And the funny thing is there's consensus. Nobody wants it. There's varying reasons why, but nobody wants Back to the Future 4.
True,
like,
yeah.
In the world, which means probably going to be made next year.
Yeah, probably.
And here's this person coming in just dissing, saying this is not a good show.
Yeah.
Well, they don't know nothing, so don't make me get all Jerry Springer on you. I will throw a chair through this podcast.
Do people still say that, Jerry Springer?
He's not dead.
I mean, you know, but the way you just said it as a...
I feel like it's still the... I mean, you could... Nowadays, people might say, get all Maury, because Maury's like the only one left who has a show like that.
I didn't even know he was still doing his show.
He is, but his show is now entirely made up of paternity, DNA tests for paternity. That's like his whole show at this point.
Okay.
Is people come on there and say, I slept with these five guys at the same time, so I'm sure one of them is the father, and they do a DNA test. And
I see.
Yeah.
I guess, and people watch this?
I frequently watch the last 5 minutes while I'm waiting for The Simpsons to come on, if for some reason I've been home early that day.
Okay.
And every once in a while, The Soup does it, because it's a thing where there's literally like five guys, and they do a DNA test, and none of them are the father.
None of them?
Yes.
Jeez.
And it's like, oh, honey. On national TV, even. Not that this was a good idea before, but...
Now,
oh.
Do any of these men want to be...
No, 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 no. There are frequently victory dances and stuff when it's not them. They all think she lying. For those of you not doing the visual version, I'm doing the little head wag and the finger shake to go with it. It's a whole thing.
Uh-huh. It seems like you're suggesting that many of the people on this show are of a particular ethnicity.
You put all of that in there.
No, I don't think I did.
You put all that. I am suggesting that many people on the show are of a particular socioeconomic background.
Which is wherein, disproportionately represented by
a particular set
of ethnicities.
That's
I should
on
say.
You, Kyle. I'm not even having nothing to do with that. Whatever. I'm just saying.
Whatever.
Willie Wright hates him some Puerto Ricans.
Shut up. Nobody's going to understand that, so...
I know! William's alter ego is a really asshole, racist billionaire named Willie Wright. Extreme jackass billionaire.
Who owns a radio station, apparently.
And he's a very, very angry man and hates a lot of people, but in particular, little people and certain specific ethnicities. And children. He is not fond of children. There are a lot of stories... Me and John Tuttle used to tell about Willie Wright, all the shitty things he did to children and little people.
It was actually quite humorous, but...
Anyway, so welcome, everyone.
Yes, hello.
How was your week, William?
It was good. You know, recently the family started watching, streaming on Netflix, Jericho.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting show.
It's not unlike our podcast.
Well,
in that it had a small but fiercely loyal fan base.
Right, and it was canceled after its first season, but there were still
a
few shows.
Not unlike our podcast.
Yeah, there were still a few shows in the second season. I don't know how many, 7 or 8 or something, which we haven't gotten to yet. And I don't know why we're watching a show that we know was canceled, but...
That frequently ups the ante for us. Like, we'll watch it because we know we don't have to put up with it.
Well, I do know why we're watching it, because the home that I live in seems to have a peculiar obsession with apocalypse or post-apocalypse stories, see? So, for example, also streaming recently is the first season of Walking Dead, which we watched.
I watched the first season. That's when I stopped.
Well... Here's what I find interesting is Walking Dead is very popular. It's going to be going into its third season if it hasn't already. But I didn't feel like the show was really any better than, say, Jericho was. Jericho's pilot was good, I thought. They had a few shows after that that weren't that good. But mostly my complaints with it are whoever was writing for the show never lived in a small town, didn't know anything about farming. You know, because some of the things they talked about with small towns and...
Is this the one where Sean Astin talks to God?
No.
Which show is that?
I don't know.
I don't think Sean Astin cares about God.
No, there's a show where he was playing a mysterious character who thought God was talking to him, and it was also sort of a post-apocalyptic thing.
Oh, I have no idea.
That I caught like one episode of. It wasn't Jericho. Okay, I don't know what it was.
But
somebody help me out with that.
But then the show got better. And again, most of my complaints about the earlier episodes probably most people wouldn't care about, even if they noticed them at all. So here we are, we're almost done with the first season, and I'm just thinking to myself, okay, this show isn't great, but it's not awful, it's not bad. How did it do so poorly?
Different climate, because there are years in between.
Oh, that's true.
And different network. Mm-hmm. It's entirely possible Walking Dead would not have survived on a network that wasn't AMC.
Yeah, well...
AMC's ratings are a whole other scale, and also AMC has proven... Holy shit, with The Killing, if nothing else, its ability to hold on to a show come hell or high water. But I think for AMC, Walking Dead has gotten really good ratings. I think compared to like what CBS gets for something, it's probably not that great. I don't really know.
You don't like The Killing?
I have heard The Killing is awful, mostly because they worked really hard to say that in this... They pulled the same shit that, like, Persons Unknown and, to a lesser extent, Lost pulled, where they're like, in this season, we'll solve this murder mystery, and then they're like, no, never mind.
Well, no, I think probably the biggest complaint, I mean, we watched the first season of that also, and while that part of it was annoying, all of the, I mean, every time you think they're setting you up to know that this person did it, that's the way you know they didn't do it,
yeah.
Because that's just the kind of show it is. And it does get kind of annoying that they do this over and over and over again, and it seems pretty unrealistic. However, you know, the characters are interesting and everything. I think probably what people don't like about it is, my understanding is it's a remake of a show or a series that was in, I don't know, Norway or some Scandinavian country.
Oh, really? Okay.
And it definitely, if anyone's ever watched programs from that area of the globe, they tend to be kind of brooding and kind of, I mean, they set the show in, I think it's, no, I can't even remember where it's set. Is it in Seattle or?
I didn't watch the show.
I think it's in the American Northwest. Someplace that you're going to have a lot of dreary days like you have in a lot of Scandinavian countries. You see what I'm saying? And that whole tone of sort of dark, kind of existential thing going on, that seems to be a very popular way to tell stories in like Norway and all the and Finland and places like that when they have shows or movies, and they really kind of, I thought they did a fairly good job of capturing that sort of Northern Germanic feel that you get. But I also thought as I watched it that while I can appreciate what they're doing here in trying to preserve that tone, I just don't think it's going to play very well with American audiences. So I was really surprised to find out that it got another season or whatever.
It was apparently very popular in the beginning and then very unpopular later.
Oh, I see.
But I don't watch any AMC shows anymore. I've tried it twice. I've found both of them to be good shows that I don't want to watch.
Yeah, well,
and I feel like people talk about Breaking Bad. I'm like, I am willing to bet it's an incredible show. I am willing to bet I don't want to watch.
No, I don't have any interest in that show. And we tried watching Mad Men just based on everyone's, really strong expectation or reviews of it, you know, and thought, well, maybe this will be okay. But we watched just the first episode and decided it wasn't for us.
The producer has been watching a little bit of Small Town Security.
What's that?
It is a reality show about a security company in a small town that it gets a lot of clips on the soup. You look at it and it just doesn't make it feels like it's a joke. It feels like they're just pretending it's a reality show because it's just the people in it are just very weird. And I mean, just crazy and stupid, and they have sitting in their office having a really big conversation because the mother, it's largely a lot of family people, doesn't know what a camel toe is, and them trying to explain it to her and then trying to explain why that's the term. There's weird bits where she dances in her living room, sometimes wearing pants and sometimes not. By the way, she's not a good dancer or an attractive woman. Weird stuff with a dog. It's a very, like, it's like a family and a company just made up of, like, sideshow freaks that are in, and it's just very, I mean, I'm not going to watch it, but it has a weird, disturbing appeal. And it's on right after Breaking Bad, so that's just crazy shit right there.
Well, you know, another thing about Mad Men is that eventually people started, there were a lot of articles on the internet about it being a sort of a feminist show.
Really?
Show having feminist. Yeah, well.
Really?
And when I read these articles, because I was actually surprised by that. Because
I'm quite surprised.
Because it seemed to be the exact opposite. And when I first was watching it, I thought, well, you know, this is probably a very realistic portrayal of women in this time period. But I noticed that there were a lot of popular shows that were set in some bygone era, if not the 60s, in the Middle Ages, or even Game of Thrones, and the very few shows I saw with that in it, you know, even though that's a fictional universe and everything else, the plight of women in that world seems fairly realistic in terms of medieval standards. It seemed like there were all these shows set in the past kind of went out of their way to show how bad women had it back then without showing any kind of, you know, there wasn't any woman breaking the rules or sort of going against that. So it seemed like there was this weird obsession for a while with shows showing women being oppressed and just, that's it. You know,
yeah.
Like, okay, yeah, we know women were treated like property back then and it was horrible, but that's just it. We're just going to see that happening in a realistic context. What's the point of that,
yep,
telling us stuff we already know, and not watching. And a lot of times, like in Mad Men, it seemed like not only were the women being treated this way, but you never saw a woman who seemed to object to it or think there was anything wrong with it. But apparently in later episodes in Mad Men, you know, the women sort of push back a little bit. And so a lot of people are thinking, wow, this is, there's kind of a feminist thing going on with this show. It still didn't impress me. And I thought, well,
from the bits I've heard, cause I listen to a lot of podcasts that talk about it a lot. Yeah, no, I don't think it's very feminist at all. And I think mostly the women still get all oppressed and shit.
And again, I realize,
kill themselves and stuff. I'm not even sure.
If you're showing something that's a period piece, and in that period women are treated like crap, well, okay, yeah, it's realistic to show this, but I personally am, yeah, I know that's how it was, and unfortunately, I feel like a lot of that stuff is still going on, even though people don't want to admit it, so yeah. it doesn't entertain
me.
Well,
and it's the same reason why I never need to see another Holocaust movie.
Kind of the same
thing, I still think they probably need to be made for other people, because people need to know and not forget. I will never forget for the rest of my life, and I don't need to see it anymore.
Yeah. That's probably very similar to what it is for
me. No, and there's a lot. I think AMC's a lot. I think AMC makes really good shows. I don't think I want to see them. And I'm okay with that, because I'm watching too much shit already. Although I do have to say, I'm kind of getting into Perception. We've had about 5 episodes. I'm kind of enjoying
it. Has there been that many already?
I think so. I think we may have watched the 5th last night.
Because we haven't started watching that, and I thought of maybe taking
it. I'm kind of getting into it. I'm kind of enjoying it. It's not great stuff, but it's pretty good. I'm liking it, and I'm getting into the characters. I think I may be a real big fan of Eric McCormick. I know he was what, back in the day, when before everybody started hating Will and Grace, when everybody was loving Will and Grace in the beginning, I was on that bandwagon, and he was my favorite part. And I think I may just, something about him I like. And I've seen him in other stuff, and I like him. And in this, it's really, they're really trying to deal with the issues of mental illness. Like, not only his mental illness, and of course, he only ever gets brought in when it's a case involving mental illness or whatever. But, even if it just coincidentally has mental illness. But, like, most recently, we dealt a whole bunch with his political views on how the law and government deal with mental illness and stuff. So, like, we're trying. I mean, it's TNT, and we're not doing a great job of it, but we're trying to tackle some serious shit here. And it's very interesting, and I find it good. I like it. I like it.
Well, we might give it a try. Recently, The Closer ended.
Not really, though.
Well, yeah, Major
Crimes. Recently, The Closer took out Kira Sedgwick and changed its name.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, without her in it, I mean, I don't think we're going to watch Major Crimes.
And yet,
but
Fitz is still in it. Trish tried to explain that to me. I don't even understand that.
Her husband?
Yes.
Oh, because he's the FBI liaison.
That's
to the department.
Stupidest thing ever. Well, you can come up with some random excuse to get him out of there. Like,
Well, yeah, you could, but you could also keep him because he was the FBI liaison
before
she left, and now he still
weird,
is.
So. But she won't be there.
Right, but
it's her husband.
I
think it seems weird.
Well, what was kind of ridiculous was that he was the FBI liaison anyway.
You're not wrong. And to be fair, I didn't watch this show hardly at all.
No, this has been, Trish
is the diehard one.
He's been the FBI liaison to the department for, you know, many seasons now. And that was kind of silly, but it was okay because he's a cool character, and it's fun to see him in interacting with her, so you put up with it. And now that she's gone, what rationale would there be for him to stop being the liaison, except
we can make up some shit.
Well, I
mean,
know,
there wasn't
why
really any rationale for her to be gone either, except that we wrote it.
Well,
I just feel like it's awkward still keeping
him
there.
I suppose the thing is,
but the truth is, no actor wanted to stop except Kira Sedgwick and C.J. Pope, because he's got his farmer's insurance gig going. So they came up with a reason for them to be gone and left to others.
J.K. Simmons. Yeah, well, the thing is,
that's right, I totally put together his character name and his, that's right, J.K. Simmons. Thank you.
I thought the series was well written up until about the last few, and then it was kind of poorly written, which
I
can't
believe.
I feel
like I might like Major Crimes because the thing I didn't like about The Closer was Kira Sedgwick's character.
Why?
Because she was an awful, amoral bitch.
Well, yes, but that was part of the
That she was her own AMC show. She was a terrible person, and I did not like her, and I did not want to see a show about her being a terrible person, even if it helped her catch murderers.
Well, yes, but see, that even became part of the drama of the show in the later seasons with her being sued.
It's a good show. It's an absolutely good show. That's why I didn't want to watch it. There are a lot of good shows I don't want to watch.
Well, I thought it was fairly well put together, and
I agree.
But near the end, it kind of fell apart. I don't know why that is, because they knew she was going to leave. You know, they could have really made a great final season around her leaving, but it's like they didn't even try to write.
I think the ratings were too good.
They didn't even try to write her out until like the last three shows, and it was
maybe they
rushed.
Were hoping she'd change her mind.
I don't know about that.
My favorite thing about the closer is Provenza. And it's not just because Provenza's an awesome character. It's because when that guy walks down the street now, they say, that's Provenza from The Closer or from Major Crimes. They no longer say, that's the asshole antagonist from all the Police Academy movies.
Oh, is that who he was?
That's who he was. And he played similar roles in a bunch of other stupid movies around that time.
Because the only thing I remember him from was MASH, because he was...
He was in MASH. You're right. He was Rizzo.
Yeah.
But he did a lot of playing the stupid jerk in a lot of like 80s movies. In particular, he was always the guy who wanted to catch them in the act of doing bad things or whatever in Police Academy. He was their boss in the beginning couple, and I'm just so happy that now he'll be remembered for something better than that. Because he's clearly quite an accomplished actor.
I thought he didn't... Honestly, I thought he'd done absolutely nothing since MASH.
No, he's been quite prolific in stupid little things you never saw him in. Someday, we're going to teach you to talk about your week in a way that is longer than 20 seconds and shorter than 20 minutes. You've got the others. You can totally do it in less than 20 seconds. I've seen you do that.
But I didn't even really talk about my week. I talked about television
shows. I know,
shows.
But it becomes... We got to shoot for that sweet spot of like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
We can't get there. Because you can either be like, nothing happened this week, I don't know if I'd ever go. Or we can have...
But nothing did happen. I just talked about TV shows.
Wait. At risk of being put on Team William again, how is you going on about The Closer and AMC his fault?
Because he started it.
I started it.
I wouldn't have talked about those otherwise.
Well, go ahead and talk about your week.
I haven't got a lot of time.
Well, was a lot happening? Or
Derby? Actually, roller derby?
Oh, gosh, yes. Jeez, we could have talked about that the whole time.
Oh.
And not only that, but Mark's so curious about Dresden Files, I was really interested to hear what you had to say about
it. Didn't game this week.
Oh, wow.
I was sick Monday and Tuesday, very sick, so we didn't game this week.
Well, just for the record, I also am interested in more details about it, so.
Okay, we didn't game this week.
Mark and I both would like to hear it.
When
you have the time.
You guys might be in the minority, I'm not sure. Although, actually, Craig's interested, I know. But we didn't game this week, so nothing has changed from last week. Roller derby hurt my heart. We lost. It was an impressive second half that we got slaughtered in the first half.
Oh.
But we came back with a vengeance in the second half. It was impressive. But it ended up being, we lost by 50 points. It was like 158 to 108. But we really came back. It was a really impressive second half. So I was impressed with that. But it was very stressful on me.
For those who aren't familiar with roller derby, 50 points is not a whole lot. I mean,
like I said, it was 158 to 108. So that gives you perspective of where we were.
Yeah. I mean, you can get 50 points back after a few jams. But if you run out of time, that's it.
And this seemed to be a lot about momentum, both in the first and second half. Like, I couldn't pinpoint weaknesses and strengths in the two teams so much as it was just once one of them got a few good jams in, the others, I think, were getting disheartened and went from there. And our team has really good endurance. We frequently show well in the second half. We're good at keeping it up.
Yeah, that was true for the bouts I watched also.
And then finished Bullet in the Face, that TV show. Still really liked it, still weirdly obsessed with it, still stuck not knowing who I can geek out with about it, because I don't really know who to recommend it to. It's very... most people I know aren't going to like it for a variety of different reasons.
But I was really, like
you would not like it.
Okay.
I really liked it. So that's been tricky. And I was very sick. And so tonight I'm messed up because I went and got a massage tonight because I had to cancel my massage on Monday. I get massage therapy every 4 weeks. That's how I managed to successfully, like, walk around and stuff. It's 1 hour massage therapy. And for those of you, because I know I've had talks with people, Azure Talon, who didn't understand massage therapy except as he put it, either relaxation massage or with release. And in fact, there are kinds of massage outside of those two camps. What I get is therapeutic massage that helps all of my muscles that are all screwed up because I have chronic back problems and things like that. And it is not enviable at all. Basically, a very small, wiry woman beats the shit out of me for an hour every 4 weeks. I leave there hating life. But usually within 24 to 48 hours, I feel better than I did before. And I can walk for about a month without pain. Been doing it for years. It's very helpful. I highly recommend my massage therapist. She's very good. Both in terms of her technique. And she's just a good... she's good to talk to during the thing. She's very nice. I like her. I like her a lot. Hmm. So that has messed me up tonight. And I think that's it. Let's get to that.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear you were ill.
Yeah, stomach thing. It was bad. I haven't been sick like that in a while. I didn't know. And I thought it was just something bad I ate, but the producer's been having some proto-symptoms the last couple of days. I'm a little nervous for her, because I hope she doesn't have what I have. What I had. Oh, also, while I was sick, beat Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, so that is done.
Oh.
Next, gonna play Final Fantasy 13, but I haven't started yet.
Okay. Dear TMTH, soccer or football, Mark McKibben.
Mark McKibben. Now, number one.
Again, this makes me think of, you know, of course, football to all the rest of the world besides us is soccer.
No.
Or vice versa. Or
not football. Football.
Okay, whatever. The point is.
Well, I think that's what he's asking. Yeah. Which term do we use? I don't think he's saying, do we prefer the sport of soccer or the American sport of football?
No, I think
he's asking.
I realize that's true. But
also because it's a sports thing, so what the hell?
This is...
it's not baseball or roller derby. We don't care.
It's a little bit... Yeah, that's true. It's a little bit like... it's a little bit like the metric system or what we use here in the United States.
Like,
why do we do it when the whole rest of the world... Not only is it... It's not really just that the whole rest of the world does the metric system. It's that the reason they do, which is it makes more sense.
Yes.
And the same thing with... The term football makes sense for what we call soccer because you use
your feet.
It's a ball
and your feet.
And what we call football, it doesn't make sense to call it that.
No, not at all. And, if I had my druthers, we would call it football. I use the term soccer because it's crazy. And also, to live in America and to talk with other people in this country and to say football, even if you explain yourself, ridiculously pretentious.
Yeah, it's no problem.
Which... I'm going to say this because this always comes up, and I'm not sure everybody agrees with me, and I feel guilty about it because I do it. I think using the phrase across the pond to describe one side or the other of the UK or the US across the Atlantic, terribly pretentious. I use it sometimes. I've sort of tried to stop myself because I think it sounds really pretentious.
But isn't it something that...
It's a very
British
common
people
thing
say,
as far as I know.
It's not just that people over here say it. People over there say it.
But I think only certain types of people say it.
Oh.
But I don't know. I do feel like Americans think it's a Britishism, and so they say it because they think it sounds witty, you know? But I don't know that it's true. And I feel like this is the same thing. If you say, like, or football, as everybody else, like, I hear somebody saying offhandedly, you know, everybody else calls it football. Yes, we all know that. Yes, we all know it makes more sense for you to bring it up here. First of all, is very clearly saying, look how cosmopolitan I am. And second of all, is failing to show how cosmopolitan you are because we all know it. We all know that's the case. You know, ostriches don't actually fly despite having wings and feathers. Yes, we know. You know, it's a...
Well,
You know, Greenland, not that green. Iceland, not that icy. We know.
Lydia knows.
Lydia is my 7-year-old niece. If she knows, you're not showing off your sophistication by telling us. I'm going to say that's a rule, at least until she turns 8.
But, yeah, I agree. If, you know, around here it's called soccer. That's all there is to it. Yes. I mean, being a smart aleck,
it may, calling it football, we may think that's stupid, but that's the that's the language.
Well, it's just like, again, comparing it to the metric system. And you know, you don't go around giving people, you know, when someone asks you how far something is, you don't tell them how many kilometers it is, because they're just going to think you're a jerk.
But let me ask you this.
Even though it makes more sense to speak that way.
A word. We have words that we use in the English language that are not English words because we don't really have an equivalent.
Yes, that's right.
The easiest example that comes to mind is when people use ennui. Mm-hmm. Which they can use in terribly pretentious ways, but sometimes it's sort of a special word. I mean, it sort of translates, but it doesn't really, so you use it. There are words like that. When you say a word like that, how do you pronounce it as you would in the original language?
That's a tough one, because
it's
funny you should ask that, because whenever something like that comes up, you know, I do sort of hesitate and think, gosh,
like,
I know how to pronounce this the way the French do, but...
And it mostly comes up with French. But that's the thing. Either way, you lose. You either sound like a hick because you're pronouncing it wrong, or you sound like a pretentious asshole. And the one that the producer and I use, and I think it's my fault, I think she got it from me, is accoutrement.
Okay.
As opposed to accoutrements.
Accoutrements, yeah.
And I've never said accoutrements in my whole life. And we kind of hedge in between. We basically say accoutrement every time, but by and large, we try and say it tongue-in-cheek. But, like, every time. Mm-hmm. That's our sort of in-between, is we pronounce it right, but we sort of try and imply that we're doing it ironically. But that's what we do every time.
Yes.
And I'm really not comfortable saying accoutrements, but I know how I sound when I say accoutrement.
Yeah, well, you know.
And you get, when you get into Spanish ones, they did a tremendous, years and years ago, Saturday Night Live sketch about this when Jimmy Smits was on, and he was the new Latino weatherman, like, for this news channel, and they were talking about stuff, and they were talking about they were pronouncing his name, and it was, I think it was Alejandro or something, and they were like, Alejandro! And then later they were talking about they were going to get Mexican for lunch, and they were going to have some burritos! And then later they were talking about how a tornado was coming in the weather storm, and at that point he starts losing his mind on it. And I was like, but is it... Like, no, it's the same, and I have
well,
that.
The reason they were making fun of that in Saturday Night Live, though, is because there was a period of time, and maybe, I don't know if it still happens, but where you'd watch broadcast news, and whenever a name was pronounced from a South American country or whatever, the anchor person would try to put the Spanish inflections in, like the way the people who live there would pronounce it.
Well, and at this point, I think you can actually get a degree in how newscasters are supposed to pronounce different countries. Like, it's become such a thing.
Well, you know, part of that, though, is that, like, you have the BBC World Service, who have people all over the world as correspondents, and most of the correspondents are reporting from some place they're from. So when they pronounce the names, they do it properly because that's where they're from. And yes. So there's this, and so it starts to be difficult for the people who aren't from there to pronounce it any other way. So I think the BBC World Service, that's their fault.
I have one thing to say to you about this. With NPR News, I'm Sylvia Pujol. Every time, and it's her own last name. Pujoli.
Dakar.
Yes, Dakar.
She's in Dakar.
Like, it's such a... I don't even...
Dakar. I can't even do it right.
But, and I'm stuck. Like, I'm mocking it, but I don't like the other... I don't like where we just Americanize, where we boil it all down to, as my sister once said, and she doesn't even remember this from her college days, the worst possible accent comes out as parlez anglais, hombre. Like, not okay with
Humber.
That. Humber.
That's what Daffy Duck says. Humber. Well, you know...
Like, I don't know what the right answer is. Well, I feel like an idiot either way.
Well, here's the thing, though. From a purely linguistic standpoint, you know, people have been borrowing words from other languages forever. And yes. Also, pronouncing them in a way that fits into their language. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, what rule is there? I mean, why should it even offend anyone if that's done? But the problem is when you're borrowing a word and it's only been borrowed fairly recently, or, and by fairly recently, it can even be within the last 200 years.
Yeah.
And you just, you still feel this obligation to pronounce it the way it's pronounced
by
people.
Well, and we're in a global culture now.
Oh, that's true too, exactly.
Most of us know how it's supposed to be pronounced.
That's right.
But there's a lot of shit attached to that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. If I only know one pronunciation, I'm not worried. But I frequently know both, and it drives me crazy. And I hear ones that are ridiculous, and they give me chills when I hear it. And just ridiculous. The names are amazing. I think I may have told this story before. I worked in college. I was working at the deli counter in the student union. And mispronunciation of names pisses me off. And it's always a surrogate thing because nobody ever mispronounces Tony Parsons. They occasionally forget the S in Parsons, but that's it. Nobody's ever mispronounced my name. And so on behalf of other people, I get really mad about their names being mispronounced. And one that bugged me is I worked with a guy who was from Bangladesh. Again, I could have said Bangladesh. I said Bangladesh.
You did.
I'm pretentious, but I'm not a hick, apparently. And his name was Iresh. Mm-hmm. I-R-E-S-H. Pronounced Iresh. One of our supervisors from small town Iowa, despite what he referred to himself as many times, what I called him, what we referred to him when he wasn't there, consistently pronounced his name Irish.
Huh.
And I'm like, that's not even wrong. That's a whole other name. That's where you like went and found other sounds to add in. Like, that's not even... Like, I can understand if you hear a name... Like, if they flip the R too much and you could get confused and think his name was Idesh. You know, I mean, and you want to correct them, but I could understand. Oh, I heard. How did you go to Irish? At no point did you, like, before he started working here, did you study the written version of his name for a long time and then secretly are deaf and didn't tell us? Like, how did. And I think at one point, I even got fed up enough that I corrected her, and the rest of that night she did it right, and then after that, she did it wrong again.
Well, you know, sometimes it's a matter of. I'm not in that case, obviously, but. You know, we have a friend from Belgium who everyone calls Gert, but that's not how it's pronounced in Belgium.
Yes, although he strongly encourages people to do it, I think because he gets tired of getting spit on when you try and do it correctly.
Yeah.
It technically would be Geert.
Yeah.
Geert.
Don't hurt yourself.
Few people know the original gremlin in the first movie was named Gert.
Oh, okay.
But he has had a hard life anyway. He comes from a country comprised of two people and one dog.
And one dog.
We were just talking about that dog the other day.
Were you the Belgian dog?
The Walloon dog.
Oh, yes. Right. Sorry. I need to be specific.
Geert established it himself. The dog is the Walloon. Belgium is Flemish. I think Geert is also Flemish.
Yeah, he is.
His brother, by the way, that's where the name comes from. Gert's brother is named Belgium.
Yeah, right.
And is the only human who still lives there.
Right.
I can't even remember the origin of this anymore. I mean, I know it was my bullshit, but I don't remember what caused it.
I don't remember either.
But originally it was just him and his brother, and then at some point in the story they had to have a dog. I don't think the dog has ever been given a name.
I don't think so either.
It's the only dog in Belgium. You can't miss him.
It's French name, whatever it is. And there's two ways to pronounce it, so we won't even
exactly,
get into that.
Exactly. Dog. Yeah, that's...
Well, you know, the problem I always run into with my name is that, and it really annoys me, is that lots of times I run into people that will only pronounce one of the L's. hate
that's
that.
That's gotta be.
Oh, it's totally.
And then you run into Spaniards who call you William. William. No, you see, you're
no,
one
it's
of those.
Guillermo in Spanish.
Or the diminutive is Memo.
That's right.
Which I love. See, and you're one of those assholes who went through a persona change.
Kind of.
Because
yeah.
You were a Bill.
For a long time.
And now you're a William.
Yeah, I was Bill clear up until 1998.
I finally figured out how to tell the difference between you and my 5-year-old nephew, by the way.
Oh.
While his name is also William, He will actually go by Will sometimes.
Oh, I see.
So now whenever I'm speaking of him, I refer to Will because you're never Will. But now she just thinks I'm talking about Will Wheaton.
Oh,
okay. I have to pronounce both L's. But yes, you were one of those. I had a roommate who was that too. When he went to college, he changed it. And it's a pain in the ass for the rest of the world.
Well, why is that? You never knew me as anything other than William.
No, but people from your past show up and start talking about Bill.
Yeah.
And it takes me a good half hour of conversation before I realize this whole time they've been talking about you.
Well,
and meanwhile, when I drive to Mount Dallas and I'm looking for where William Wright lived, they say, "Ain't nobody here by that name, son. You best turn around."
When have you ever been to Mount Dallas?
The time I was looking for your homestead, and they said, "Ain't nobody here by that name, boy."
No, when was that?
They said, "You better turn
you
around."
You never did that, did you?
We ain't ever heard that name around here.
Anyhow.
There was Billy Wright, used to live over there, but that's a different boy entirely.
Look, this is why I did it, because I know it's going to be hard for people to imagine, but I've worked before I worked where you and I worked. I worked in another place that had its headquarters in another state, and they didn't know, you know, who Bill, if the Bill Wright and William Wright were the same person. William Wright was in all my official documents at the home office. But everybody where I worked in the branch office knew me as Bill. And so when the home office called the branch office and asked for William Wright, nobody knew who that was.
You changed your name out of a business?
I didn't change it. My name is William Wright.
But you always went by Bill.
Yes, but it caused confusion where I worked. So when I started working at Applied Systems, which was a branch office, I knew that, well, I'm going to go by William. And, you know, a lot of people had this problem who went by nicknames at Applied where there was a nickname on their company email address, but all of their human resources stuff had a different name.
Yeah, no, and I have this problem now because, unfortunately, I try to always keep everything as Anthony.
Yeah, Anthony and Tony.
And they recently have switched it.
Okay, well, see, no, I didn't want to deal with that, saying, so I decided I'm going to be William on everything. Everyone's going to know me as William, and all my customers are going
to
know me
as William.
And
now you have nothing to do with that place, and you still are William everywhere.
Well, that's because everybody I met after 1998 knows me as William.
And when you meet new people now...
I introduce myself as William out of habit.
This is what's driving me crazy. To me, that is a very strong tie to your identity.
Well, of course it is.
Technically, I am Anthony. I'm Tony. And people call me Anthony. And I say, in workplace or whatever, I don't really care. But in my head, anytime somebody calls me Anthony, my gut thing is, they don't really know me.
No, I'm
not in.
I decided.
And so the fact that out of convenience for that workplace, you changed it completely, not just in the workplace, but throughout your life and even past that job.
That's right.
Weirds the shit out.
Well, the reason I did it everywhere, including when I was meeting new people, not even in work, is because I knew that I didn't want to get mixed up myself. So I just decided, you know what? I'm going to be William from now on.
That freaks me out. Because to me, that decision is of way more importance and significance than any inconvenience from the workplace. Like, to me, that's such a weird reason. And I knew somebody from a summer camp one time. Her name was Sherry Lee. She was Laotian. Her last name was spelled L-Y, pronounced Lee. Used to piss me off. Everybody would always call her Sherry Lie. But the final straw was she started introducing herself to people as Sherry Lie. And that drove me crazy. And to me, this is the same thing. I'm like, you know what? Let it be a little inconveniencing. That's literally who you are.
Well, except...
You're changing who you are permanently.
Yeah, but it's a little more complicated than that. Because...
You were originally Gary Weinstein.
No.
And then
look,
when you turned state's evidence...
Something else had happened about the time I was... introducing myself as William, and that's who I was.
Oh, so there was some other shit, and you thought this might be a good fresh start time?
Well, not consciously, no. But It sort of worked out that way. So I think that's what reinforced it. Because I also got divorced around the same time, see?
Okay. Then, no, that totally makes sense.
And really, my whole life changed fairly dramatically, not just
there. Yeah, you got a lot of shit going on.
Yeah, a lot of things were changing fairly dramatically. So it just...
No, that makes sense.
And I didn't think about it consciously, but about 2 or 3 years into it, I realized that not coincidentally, this change in what people called me was sort of, it made sense with how dramatically my life was changing in a lot of other ways.
Yes.
And it's kind of funny because a lot of people who I told that, well, everybody from before 1998 knows me as Bill, a lot of people were really surprised because they didn't think I seemed like a Bill to them at all. Which I thought was right, kind of interesting.
Yeah, no, you don't at all seem like a Bill.
Well, but a lot of people who knew me before can't even think, and calling me William is, they won't even do it. My dad used to call the office and ask for me.
Oh, that's how I found out. Told people.
He did it 3 or 4 times this way, and they'd say, yeah. Well, we don't know who that is, and then he'd kind of sigh with exasperation and say, William, because he... And that happened, you know, you'd think the first time he did it, he would have learned, but he didn't want to call me William
but
ever.
You'd also think that reception wouldn't be that much of a dumbass.
Well, that's true, but
that's a whole other deal.
But my folks didn't even call me Bill, they called me Billy, and that was fine.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people from my past who refuse to call me anything but Bill for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Which is fine, and I know I'm not bothered by it, but...
We have one mutual friend who you knew from your past who does call you William... Except when he forgets.
Yeah, and then he calls me.
And then it comes out Bill. And that's how I discovered was from people like him, because you don't ever talk about it or anything. And so when I first found out, I was like, Bill? What the hell? Bill?
Well, another thing about going by William was that it wasn't just for work. I like my name. I like William. And no, I never chose to be called Bill. That's just what my parents called me. So, you know, this was the first time in my life where I actually thought, well, what do I want people to call me?
See, and
because I could have, I didn't have to be called William. I could have.
Oh yeah, people switch to middle names. And
well, yeah,
like
I could have. I could have put Bill on all my official documents and made Bill everything people called me. Timmy, but I chose William.
Timmy became Timmy at Applied.
Okay, well,
it apparently was a joke in his entry class because they already had another Tim in there, and he's like, "You can call me Timmy."
Well, this is what I mean. I didn't have to be William. I could have been Bill to the home office and the branch office, but I specifically chose William because. I just felt like, you know what, this is what I want to be called. I'm only called Bill because that's what everyone has always called me.
Yes.
And I like being called William, so that's what I went with.
And that totally makes sense to me. Therefore, there's like 3 reasons that coincide at the same time.
That's right.
And that makes sense. You can't just be going around saying that one because it's not the real story.
I see what you're saying.
But now, when you describe the picture, totally makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And a common one you get, like I said, I had a college roommate, and we didn't find out until people called from home asking for him. And his was weird because he had a few of them because he had a different form of his first name that he switched when he came here. But also he had a certain contingent of people that had always known him by his middle name. So we found out he actually had 3 names at this point.
Well, I was called Bill by most people. I mean, you know,
you got Bill, Billy, William, same kind of thing.
Well, yeah, but I was also called Charles. Charles is my middle name, and some people called me that back home. Not very many, but that's what they called me.
And a surprising number of people still to this day refer to you as Dairy Queen.
No, you just call me that sometimes.
Yeah, isn't that surprising?
No, it's not.
Okay.
So yeah, I've been
guys. If you see William on the street, say, "Hey, Dairy Queen."
Some people know me as Bud. A few people out there.
Wait.
Know me
as
Bud.
Is this Rudy Huxtable? Because
no.
She likes to call boys she likes Bud.
No.
Except it's not Bud.
I worked at a camp, and there was already a Bill working there. And rather than go by William, they called me Bud. And that's the name they thought I had. And after a while, I responded to it like it was my real name. It was weird. But that's just a few people. I've never really had a successful nickname. I mean, nobody's ever called me something that really caught on as a nickname.
In certain corners of the world, I am known as Sergey. But I'd really rather not go into
it. No, seriously, have you ever had a nickname that anyone called you, like something that really caught on and everybody called you that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What was it?
I had lots of family ones, but the one that caught on big was in college. It was from a different roommate who started calling me Papa Tony.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You told me that before.
Yes. And nobody, including him, knew why. And then a long time later, he suddenly remembered where it came from. And He was Nepalese, but he had gone to an international high school in Italy. And one of the professors was named Antonio, and he was a very paternal figure to the kids, and they called him Papa Tony.
Oh,
and so that just popped into his head when he heard Tony, and it was purely like a linguistic similarity here. Tony thought that. It wasn't a character trait, necessarily. But by that point, people had determined that it was, and I did sort of become the patriarch of my circle of friends in my years of college, and it stuck, and to this day, there are still people who call me that.
Yeah,
not people I hang out with regularly. But.
I mean, people tried. There were a few people that attempted to give me certain nicknames, but they never stuck.
Dairy Queen.
No.
That one works. I talk with people that know about it, and we call you that sometimes, and we know who you're talking about. Okay, only one person, but that person I do talk.
No.
I do. Ask her. You know who. You what, ask her.
Whatever.
Okay, we maybe have time for one more question.
Okay.
That was a good one, though. We got lots of stuff out of that.
I guess we did. Very we didn't really talk very much
linguistic
about...
Linguistic-heavy episode.
Linguistics is a very interesting
yes.
subject.
This is a question from Beth.
Oh, good.
And, shocker of shockers, it has been abridged.
Okay.
Digested.
Are you saying something about Beth?
Yeah, Beth writes really fucking huge questions.
Oh.
But she writes good questions, so I'll forgive her. Oh, you're going to hate this one.
Why?
Because we don't have enough time to spend as much time as you're going to want on this one.
Really?
Yeah. Dear the Magical Talking Hat, what is the appropriate response when someone confides / announces to you that they're gay? Beth.
Well, I'm not really sure I understand that question. In appropriate response... In what way? Like, I mean, there's lots of contexts wherein someone might do this. I mean, are you in a group of people when they do this? Have they told you this in confidence and they don't want you to tell somebody else? Are they telling you this because they're confessing an interest in you? I mean, what's the context, do you think?
I don't think it matters.
Well, it does matter, though.
No.
All those contexts matter.
I mean, the context matter in life, but the response is the same regardless.
Well...
Proper response, always the same.
You think so?
Yes.
Well, what is it?
Cookie bouquet.
Oh.
Somebody comes out?
You're right, I didn't
you give them a cookie
I didn't
bouquet.
Even think about that
yeah.
angle.
Of course.
I was thinking more of a personal...
They've got a whole
response.
Section. Well, I usually will. If somebody comes out to me, I will be like, hold on 1 second, and I will go order a cookie bouquet.
But if they talk to you, that might not be the same as coming out.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the appropriate response when someone confides, just say confide.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, I think we can cover the context. For me, it's often, I knew it.
Even if you didn't, really?
I always seem to.
Oh, whatever.
Except for Anderson Cooper. I was the only one, but I didn't know.
Okay.
He wasn't tripping my gaydar. I don't know why.
And appropriate response in terms of what? I mean, in terms of whether or not you should agree to keep that confidence or...
No. Beth's not an asshole.
Well, I know she's not, but I don't know what the question
is. If somebody
means.
Tells you they're gay, don't tell anybody. Don't fucking tell anybody.
Right.
Let's take that as read.
What is the appropriate response? I'm not sure I understand. I'm sorry, Beth. I don't mean to be dense, but I don't really get it.
I think you're overthinking it.
Wait. Did you just tell me that I'm overthinking something?
Possibly. Especially because you just missed...
Wait a minute. I thought that was a given.
Well, you're right. I'm being redundant here. In general... I mean, there's not a lot of options. I mean, you and I are, I don't even want to say homosexual positive. You and I consider it a non-issue.
Yes, it's absolutely
a non-issue. It is a type of person that you are.
Yeah.
And regardless of all of the background of what might cause it or what might... We also don't care because regardless, we think it's fine anyway.
Well, yeah, you might as well tell me I have a tattoo in a place you can't see. And I'd
Yeah, I mean, especially for you. In me, I'm secretly wondering if people are going to sleep with me all the time. So for me, it's more of an issue. But in your case, it really is like them saying they have a preference for a certain food.
Yeah,
you don't...
Of course, it's...
Well, it carries a lot of stuff because you're like, wow, then you have to deal with
society and that bullshit. But it doesn't mean anything to me personally.
Yeah, and so in general, I feel like there's two general responses to this. One is if the confession, announcement, whatever, carries with it a very strong weight of this has been very hard for me to say, or this has been very difficult for me to realize, or I am very concerned with your reaction. Any of these things where you can tell that the person has a fair bit of tension in the act of saying it,
yeah.
I generally try to be fairly supportive. That's cool. I'm glad you've been able to figure this out about yourself. If it's been difficult for you, you should feel good about being able to identify this in yourself. I thank you for trusting me with that. If you don't necessarily trust others.
Well, put in that context, though, in the context you're putting it in, I think my first response would be to ask them, how do you feel about that? I mean, you're telling me this, but does it scare you, or are you okay with it, but you don't want other people to know?
I feel like in most versions of this, they probably sort of stated that kind of stuff in the lead up to it. Okay. But you're right. If somebody's just like, so I think I might be gay, that's probably a good start. How do we feel about this?
What does that mean to
you? But generally, if I feel it's a situation where the person feels like they need validation and support,
and that's why they're bringing it up.
Yes. Outside of that context, it would pretty much be shrug and be like, that's cool.
Yeah, like,
because it's not a deal to me. I mean, I'm totally fine with that. Yeah, and if you're a dude and kind of cute, a part of my brain is like, yes, I have a shot now, even though that's completely unrealistic. But otherwise, I don't really care.
Okay, well, if again, in the context you're speaking of, I would be curious to know, you know, if they're talking to me about it, what are they looking for? Are they looking for some kind of affirmation, or are they worried about something, or advice, or whatever? If they just want to unburden themselves with knowing a secret about themselves, and they want to confide in someone, yes. I also would be very grateful that they trust me with that information. I would try to assure them that that's okay. There's nothing. I mean, even though they obviously feel like they can't tell everybody about it, that's not because there's something wrong with them. That's because there's something wrong with our culture and our society. And they shouldn't feel guilty or ashamed or whatever. And you know, it's hard to not share certain really important things like this about yourself. Because you feel like you're living a lie. You feel like you're deceiving other people. It's not just about you feeling bad that you can't share this part of you, but you feel like your integrity is being compromised by the fact that you're not telling people this.
Yeah.
But you know, one has to remember when you're in an environment that's hostile to this kind of thing, you're justified in protecting yourself and keeping these types of secrets. But it is very difficult, and it is good to have people you know who you can trust and talk to about it. And I would assure that person that I am one of those people, and that usually if they can talk to someone, they can feel like even though they're hiding it from someone else, that their integrity is somehow intact.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's usually why they talk to someone about it. And that's really important. However, if they're just mentioning it to me because they want me to know, you know, for future reference, okay, yeah. That's fine, no big deal. If they're telling me because they have an interest in me personally, that'd be a little harder because, you know... that's not going to happen.
Well,
but
they're not telling you they're gay. That's not the bulk of the words coming out of their mouth at that point.
That's probably true.
By the way, I'm gay, and that's relevant here because blah.
Yeah, in fact, they're probably not telling me they're gay. They're probably just hitting on me. Yes. So,
I don't know that that comes up a lot unless you're trying to be like subtle and be like, so I'm gay. So if you thought there was no way I would be interested in you, we've at least established the possibility via my orientation. Not that I'm saying anything else. This happened to me once is what I'm, no, I'm kidding.
Well, and the thing is, I something I've realized about myself that I guess is different than a lot of other guys is that this would make me very uncomfortable, but no more so uncomfortable than if a woman did it who I didn't think you know,
who came out to you as straight?
No, who, if she hit on me and nothing was going to develop between us, I would be uncomfortable in that situation, but no more uncomfortable. I mean, if it's a guy, or man or woman, it doesn't matter. If it's not going to happen, yeah, you know, it's still going to make me uncomfortable to kind of say, look, yeah, this isn't going to
happen. Well, and I have whole issues with male homophobia. That's a whole very complicated thing. I was going to actually even write a piece on it at one point because I think there's less.
Well, you know, there's
a whole other conversation.
Somewhere there is protection for men who, when they get hit on by another man, if they freak out and they hurt the guy, I think even if they kill him, that there's a defense.
Oh, really? Wow.
I think it might be Australia called, it's even called something like, I don't even remember, but if someone comes on to you of the same sex, and it freaks you out, and you
attack them,
and you attack them in a sort of a fit of panic, and you injure them, you know you can get off because, well, you know you had this.
That's really awful.
You should look it up. I'm sure this exists somewhere, and I forget where, but you should look it up because I think you
Totally want to translate. I would love the idea if a guy hits on a woman and she freaks out. She can just beat the shit out of him.
But you know what?
None of you left.
That's a good point, baby.
But no, if I've never been hit on by a guy, but if I was,
I've been hit on by
it
guys.
It would. I can't even imagine it bothering me, except, you know, it's just I'm not interested in men at all. Well, so I would always be letting a man down if he hit on me, and I'd feel bad about that.
No, and this becomes a whole thing because or awkward about I, it, or I don't about know it, that it's come up in this show before, and so for some of you this may be kind of a big shock, but I self-identify as bisexual.
Right.
Have for many years. My experiences with men are fairly limited, especially now that I'm married to a woman. I have issues with men and male sexuality. I view it differently than female sexuality, such that while I am attracted to men, especially in situations where it actually would become a thing, I get very nervous, and essentially I show signs at time of homophobia. Hmm. And this is why I find it very fascinating, because I think homophobia in males is such an ingrained cultural thing that I, who identify as bisexual and who have actually had romantic and intimate encounters with men, still sometimes am made uncomfortable in those situations where I would not be with a woman.
Well, right, but I mean,
I don't mean actual romantic ones necessarily. I mean issues of physical contact.
I realize really that, but don't you think that that's exacerbated a little bit by the fact that there's at least the possibility that something could happen? Do you see what I'm saying? Like, because you know, intimacy with a woman is, of course, very different from intimacy with a man, so it makes sense that you might have different feelings and different apprehensions about one or the other. Do you follow what I'm trying to say?
Yes, but I think,
and since it's possible that when you're in those situations that something, not that could happen literally, but conceptually could happen, I think, you know, it's natural.
Well, and I have some fear of, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. I think I have been socialized such that I have some issues with men from an intimate perspective.
Oh, yeah, okay, I get what you're saying, yeah.
Right. I think a lot of it is the same acculturation that all men in this society go through, and which is why it is not uncommon that even amongst the most pro-gay, open-minded men out there, they still get some discomfort in it. I saw a TV show the other day, a talk show, it was a Nerdist show, and John Barrowman, who's a famously gay actor, showed up and was greeting everybody, and he kissed one of the guys on the lips. And it was an in-joke they had already where they were dating and stuff, so they kissed. And he didn't do it with the host and made some comment about how, I knew you wouldn't do that. And the host was like, what, kiss you on the lips? I'll do that. And he's like, okay. And so they did it, and they did it, but the whole thing felt very tense to me, as opposed to the other one, which was with a straight man who felt very comfortable with it. Mm. And I feel like, I mean, I'm sure he meant nothing by it, and I'm sure it was completely involuntary, but I feel like he had attention there, that I feel like a lot of guys in this society do that kind of stuff. Right. And I'm saying, I think it is so prevalent that I think it has led to certain issues of discomfort for me, even though I'm not straight.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I see what you're saying.
And so I find it fascinating and disturbing that that is there. And it goes into a whole thing, I didn't ever send it. Trish found this great photo timeline thing of photographs of male friends together and how they were positioned. And it involved times when they would be like sitting together with their arms around each other, or even one sitting in another one's lap, or stuff like that. And then as it, in different time periods, you just stood near each other, and like team photos where they're all just like in a big dog pile, and the other team photos where they're just sitting in lines and stuff. And the evolution of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that very sad. I feel like physical intimacy amongst men is difficult in this society.
Yeah.
Even in a platonic sense. Yeah. And I feel it. I'm sitting on the couch with our best friends across the street. We're all comfortable with each other. Somehow it feels weirder if I lay back and put my arm around Kirk when he's sitting next to me than if I lay back and put my arm around Marcia.
Hmm.
I still do it, and I'm still okay with it, but it feels weird to me. And I don't like that, and I don't think that's unique to me.
No, it probably isn't.
And I'm kind of curious to look into this more, but it's tricky. But and we're way over time now, so we should probably wrap that
up.
But basically, Beth, shrug and say, so what? I believe the only time I can think of somebody coming out to me was in high school. It was a good friend of mine. And I believe we were both 16 at the time, and he came out as gay. And I believe my response was, that's so cool. Because at that point, I hadn't known any gay people. I had known some bisexual people, and they were all women. I had not known any gay people, and I was like, dude, I finally know a gay guy! And I thought that was awesome. I felt very cosmopolitan.
I grew up in a small town, and I'm sure I knew plenty of gay people there.
Yes.
Who, you know, weren't saying they were at the time. But the first person I ever met who was openly gay, I mean, you know, was in college, and when it came up, which it immediately did, when I met this person in a computer lab, it was a complete non-issue. It was like, oh, gay, okay, you know.
Yeah.
So I won't ever see him somewhere with a woman. I'll see him with a man. You know, it was as simple as that. And
yeah.
It didn't even occur to me to think anything else but that, you know.
That's because you're you. But, and I will say, and I may have mentioned this before, in college, I was polyamorous for a while and dating multiple people at the same time. And at one time, I was simultaneously, with their knowledge, dating two different girls who both broke up with me within a week of each other and started dating each other.
Well, they probably could have done that without breaking up with you.
Exactly. No, they were separate acts, but they happened in quick succession.
Oh.
And both of them were named Sarah, which is my sister's name. So pretty much, I could probably have a year of therapy based around this entire incident,
and now,
all by itself.
And now, actually, I could probably have a year of therapy.
Yes, you could.
Now that you've
told I could me make about it 2 years real easy.
No.
Ah.
You know what? You already made it 2 years. Don't say anything else.
Would you like to try for three?
No, God, don't.
I feel like the grown-up who's talking to the teenager and they're grounded for 1 week and two, you know. Make it 2 weeks!
Well, thank you, Mark and Beth. Beth, I hope... This sounds like... This is a pretty big question, I feel like.
Yeah, is this coming up for you, Beth? Or did
because,
this come up?
And if you...
And if this is a big question, you really shouldn't be asking us.
Well, or, you know, it's... I do have... We both actually have some experience with this. So
yeah.
if it's really a serious thing and you really want some insight from someone who's been there, maybe there's a way you could talk to one of us or something about it, but...
Well, Beth knows how to get a hold of me.
Yeah. Talk to Tony about it more if you feel like it, because this seems like a pretty big
and
question.
And learn more about homosexuality at your local library.
Shut up.
The more you know. Knowing is half the battle.
And if we didn't properly answer your question, I apologize, but...
We never properly answer questions. Too fucking bad. That's
you
how
think
we
I
roll,
just overthink things all the time, don't you?
Yes. Do you know why I think that?
Because everybody thinks that.
You know why they think that? Because you do.
I know people think that, but I don't know why they think
so. So, you people, go to the blog and tell us how you think William overthinks things. TheMagicalTalkingHat.com. You can talk about this show or earlier shows. People go back and look. There are still conversations going on entries from two episodes ago.
Yeah.
So check that shit out. And write the hat. We need more things for the hat or the show wouldn't be any good.
It's still...
Okay. Don't even say it.
Sorry.
Wouldn't be any good. We need your help. So write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Write in, ask us some stuff. We'll talk about it. Maybe make fun of you. It'll be a good time. I don't know where this accent came from, but it's a thing now. So here we go. All right. That's pretty much it. And in the immortal words of Peter Sagal, we'll see you next week.
Next week.
That's how he says it.
Okay.
All right.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.